Supreme Court has legalized abortion. All medical textbooks now distinguish and train the students to get a medical degree to phase out of existence, phase out of life, those who are a burden on society. Doctor friends of mine have left the medical profession. They told me, Father, we just cannot take it. They're being sued for not performing abortions. Do you hear me? Question 8. What exactly are these threats to human life so prevalent in the modern world? It's a long answer and a large quotation from the encyclical. They are nothing less than infamies. That's what the Pope calls them. Specifically, they are everything which is opposed to life itself, such as any type of murder, genocide, abortion, euthanasia, or willful self-destruction. I'm sure you've been reading what's happened to Senator Packwood. Have you? Pray for his conversion. I know Senator Packwood well, very well. Pray for his conversion. And it's not just his sexual aberrations. Pray for his conversion. Moreover, and this should also be said, Holy Father, under the rubric, as we may call it, of the pro-life movement, he tells us, of course, we ought to do everything in our power to preserve human life. However, there are other crimes also being committed, short of murder, but nevertheless criminal, such as mutilation, torments inflicted on body or mind, attempts to coerce the will itself. Hope you believe me. Most of our media in the United States, and I use my words advisedly, are hell-bent on coercing the human will to their own philosophy. Whatever insults human dignity, such as subhuman living conditions, all I can tell you, walking through the streets of Calcutta and the sidewalks, especially at night, stepping over bodies, some still alive, some dead, some dying, arbitrary imprisonment, deportation, slavery, prostitution, the selling of women and children, as well as disgraceful working conditions where people are treated as mere instruments of gain rather than as free and responsible persons. All of these are infamous. Question 9. What is especially disturbing about these crimes? They are especially disturbing because in our day, they are not only practiced, they are being defended in the name of freedom. They are being authorized by the state. Where do you begin to convert the members of our Supreme Court? Where do you begin, and I use these words consciously, to convert the President and his wife of the United States? What are some of the consequences of this widespread defense of crime? The worst consequence, says the Holy Father, is that man's conscience is darkened. We said that in a previous context, it'll come up more than once in this course. Conscience, we believe, is the human mind passing judgment on the morality of human actions. Conscience is the human mind passing judgment on human actions, whether they are good or bad. How long does it take for people who may have, by the very instinct of their natures, believed in their consciences that murder is wrong? How long will it take them to still believe that murder is wrong if the state legalizes and encourages the murder of unborn children? By the way, could I ask you, see if you can find a telephone book, the business, the yellow pages of a telephone book around here somewhere? Thanks. The minds of our nation are being darkened, is an understatement, are being blinded to the meaning of what is good or evil. As a result, people finding it increasingly difficult to distinguish between good and evil. Again, I visited a city in which I was asked to visit the Catholic pro-life center in that city. And the building housing the Catholic pro-life center for counseling women who wanted abortions was right next to the abortion clinic. And only one stairway leading to both places. Thank you. These are not the yellow pages.
Yellow pages.
Oh, yeah.
Looking for abortion.
Here are just two pages. All on abortion facilities provided by the beloved crime-ridden city of Detroit. A child paging through the telephone book. Only God knows how long anyone will still believe that murder is a crime. Number 11, this is critically important. How solemn is the teaching of this encyclical of the Vicar of Christ? This encyclical is the fruit of the cooperation of the Catholic Episcopate of the whole world. As the Holy Father explains, it is therefore, quoting the Pope, therefore meant to be a precise and rigorous reaffirmation of the value of human life and its inviolability. It is also a pressing appeal addressed to every person in the name of God to respect, protect, love, and serve every human life. And now, my addition. In theological language, this document is an expression of infallible teaching by the Church's ordinary universal magisterium. What is the Church's teaching on abortion? It is infallible. And anyone, dear Lord, oh, how well I know, this is my life. This is my life. I don't have to read the articles or the books my Catholic priests are defending abortion. I don't have to read their writings. I know them. I've sat how many times, for how many years, across from them at table. The blindness of the human mind and the blindness in high places. This better be known is not just that so many innocent children are being murdered. It is that so many millions of human minds are becoming blinded. What is the Holy Father's hope for the future? This is the way he finishes the introduction. With prayerful confidence in God's mercy, he hopes that the massive evil of this culture of death will not only be stopped, but that, I quote, a new culture of human life will be affirmed for the building of an authentic civilization of truth and love. This present Pope more than once has declared he expects the 21st century to be the most glorious in Christian history. Why? Because the 20th century is the worst, the most deadly, the most criminal, the most sin-laden century in Christian history. And as St. Paul tells us in his letter to the Romans, where sin has abounded, there, who can finish the sentence? Their grace will even more abound. But, hear it. It will abound more. It will. But only among people who are paying and paying a heavy price for defending and living their faith. Either we resign ourselves, and that verb is deliberate, either resign ourselves to live lives of martyrs, or Catholics in our country cannot survive. I have to pay the price for my Catholic faith and profession of this faith as a priest. One reason I will never publish my autobiography. The price is high. You have to pay your price. But pay it. In the name of God, pay the price. And if you do, and the more of you who do, the more sure then our faith in our country can survive. In Africa, they don't have enough money to build seminaries for the number of vocations to the priesthood. The United States, one diocese after another, is allegedly short of priests. No, they're not. No, they're not. There's no shortage of priests. There's a shortage of faith. Where the faith is strong, there he will have priests and religious and families, but nowhere else. Now, chapter 1. How did death first come into the world? I thought I'd give you a prelude to today's class in, well, today's homily. And let me tell you, a good synonym for this encyclical, where is it? The title of the encyclical is The Gospel of Life. A subtitle could be, and the anti-gospel of the devil. Believe me, the devil plays a large part in this encyclical. When I was in Paraguay in late June and early July, for 2 weeks, I was given a book, thick 400-page book, the whole book, published by a priest denying the existence of the devil. We better believe that there's an evil spirit. Otherwise, the very foundations of the Catholic pro-life movement are gone. Back to the question. How did death first come into the world? Death first entered the world as a result of the devil's envy and the sin of our first parents. And the devil came first. Next question. How did the first death enter the human race? Oh, how this needs to be emphasized. The first person who died did not die a natural death. Do you hear it? The first one who died was murdered. And just as our first parents were to have never died, none of us was ever to have died. That's our faith. Death came into the world because of sin, through the seduction of the devil. And the devil, says the Holy Father, has been doing this ever since. There is no way we can begin to understand the global homicide in the world today lest we see it as the work of the devil. No way. Next question. Well, first, the first death entered the by way of violence through the killing of Abel by his brother Cain. It has been written ever since in every page of human history. And so the next question is logical. What are the two principal reasons for violence against human life? The two main reasons are envy and anger. Envy, as I think we've said, is the sadness we are tempted to feel that someone possesses what we lack or succeeds where we have failed. And anger is the urge to revenge oneself over another person's apostrophe S, real or apparent offense. Question: how is envy behind the global suicide and homicide in today's world? People will kill another person because that person either has or can have what I lack, or succeeds when I have failed. I would ask all of you to pray and ask our Lord to enlighten your minds on how envy and anger are at the root as the internal causes of the massive global homicide in the modern world. Is there such a thing as killing a person, even in the womb, out of envy? Yes. And may I ask you, during our question period, I'd appreciate any suggestions before I tell you how you think envy and anger are or can be behind the global homicide in today's world? Let me tell you. The feminist movement is at the long bottom of world homicide. I've told you on some occasion, part of my academic training is also a graduate degree in psychology, having had to read and study Sigmund Freud. You won't develop this thought, but women envy men. Of course, men can also envy women. That is why, now speaking of 48 years of priestly experience, if you wives are well educated, be sure you don't parade your academic knowledge. You risk, I'm speaking from the depths of my heart, you risk arousing envy in your husband's mind, and women, how they have to watch. I've told, I think, most of you by now, for 15 years, from the age of 1 to the age of 16, brought up in a woman's household, tell husbands, I know women. God bless them. But women must watch out. All the higher, they must be careful to protect themselves from the passion of envy of their husbands. I'll take one more question and then we will stop this class. Number 18. Remember what Cain said after he murdered his brother Abel, when the Lord appeared to him and asked him what he had done and why did he do it? Did Cain repent? Did he apologize? No. He asked the Lord a question. Am I my brother's keeper? Instead of showing repentance or remorse, Cain defended himself. And the worst feature of global homicide is that these murderers defend their crimes exactly as Cain did. As in question 18, is this attitude of Cain prevalent in the world today? Yes. People today refuse to accept responsibility for their brothers and sisters. Like Cain, they defend their insensitivity to the weakest members of human society, the elderly, the infirm, immigrants, children, even before they are born. And we know the consequence of Cain's sin has infected the whole world. The abortion prevalent in our nation is deeply infecting our whole nation, including how long I know the Catholic Church, including how I hesitate saying it, but I must, including even some of the Church's leaders. It is 2:44 by my clock. Let's take a 10-minute break to 2:55. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.